Okay, this week's daf is Sukkah, daf Tes Zayin. We left off in daf Tes Vav and Beis. We're a couple lines from the bottom. We're going to go all the way back to the two dots, though, just to get back in the flow of things. Let's go back to the two dots, the fourth line on the page, or the sixth to last line on the page. Baruchas Hamita. The Mishnah said that if you put on top of your sukkah, instead of putting just plain regular schach, you put Aruchos Hamita. If you leave empty space between the Aruchos Hamita that are the same size as the Aruchos Hamita themselves, and then you fill that empty space with Schach Kosher, then it's going to be kosher. Aruchos Hamita are assumed to be parts of a bed that are Mekabel Tumah and are therefore bad Schach. So essentially what it says is you put up good schach and bad schach in even quantities over your sukkah, it is kosher. That is the Mishnah. So says Gemara Lema Misayele Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyumi. Let us suggest that this is a raya to Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyumi. Dam Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyumi Sicha Bivla a Kelim Psula, that if you use worn out vessels as schach, that is pasul. And Rashi says Vla'ik Kalim Lakaman Mefarish. The Gemara is going to explain soon that Vla'ik Kalim means Matlanios She'ein Ben Shalosh Al Shalosh. It means that we're dealing with very small pieces of cloth that are worn out. The Afligav the Hashtalom Mekabli Tuma. And the point of it is that even though right now they're not large enough to be Mekabli Tuma, Kivin de Mekli Asu Gazur Bel Rabbanan. Gazur Barabanan. Since they come from a kli, they used to be a shirt. Now they're just little pieces of cloth. So the Rabbanan were gozer that they should be tameh and they should not be able to. Not that they should be tameh, but they should not be able to be used as schach. So since they once came from something that's tameh, the Rabbanan made gzeira on them that we should consider them as if they're still tameh, even though now they're cut so small that they're not tameh. So too, Aruchos Nami, when it comes to the pieces of a bed frame also, Hashtalo Mekabli Tumah, pieces of a bed frame, there's another word for pieces of a bed frame. That word is wood. It's just a plain piece of wood. That should be kosher schach. A piece of a bed frame. A bed frame is not kosher schach. Why? Why is a bed frame, a full bed frame, not kosher? It's a kli. But a piece of a bed frame really should be fine. But hashtalo mekabli tumah delo chazal midi elami kli ka'asu. The point is, even though right now they're not mekabel tumah, but the Rabbanan make a gzera on them because they come from something that was a kli. So that's what we're suggesting. The idea of the Mishnah that Aruchos Hamita are bad schach relates to the idea that these little tiny pieces of cloth are mekabel tumah. Why are they mekabel tumah? Because they come from something that's mekabel tumah. Kedam back in the Gemara, Kedam Reb Chanan Amar Rebbe Ba Aruchah V'Shtei Kra'ayim B'Ktzaru V'Shtei Kra'ayim. So says the Gemara, no, that's not a raya at all. We're not talking about Aruchos Hamita that are just broken up pieces of wood and are just plain schach, but once wore a kelim. We're talking about Aruchos Hamita that are still functional as beds. You can still use it as a bed frame. It's not a totally destroyed thing. It's still usable as a bed frame. How so? You're dealing with three out of the four sides of the bed frame, whether the two long sides and the one short side, or the two short sides and one long side. But either way, you're dealing with three out of the four sides of the bed frame still intact. So why can't you use that as schach when you're dealing with three out of the four sides of a bed frame? Because it works. It's a valid bed. It's a normal kli. It works as a kli. And if it's a kli, then it obviously cannot be used for schach. But if it were literally just broken up pieces of a bed frame, what's the Gemara now suggesting the halacha would be? That would be kosher schach. It would be totally fine. So did we do main point number two on Tes Vav Amud Beis? Okay. So moving along. So when the Gemara quoted this idea that we're dealing with three quarters of the bed frame, the Gemara says, you know, it's just like Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe said, that we're dealing with three quarters of a bed frame. So over here also, we might be talking about three quarters of a bed frame. So whenever the Gemara does that, the Gemara always wants to know, where was the original context of that statement? Meaning we're taking some statement that was made in some other context and we're saying, oh, we could use that same idea in our Mishnah also. But where was that idea? Where was that idea ever suggested? So ask the Gemara, Hecha Itmar, Rabbi Chanan Amar Rebbe. Where was Rabbi Chanan Amar Rebbe's statement originally said? So the Gemara says, Ahaditna, and it was said in the following Mishnah. It was said in the context of learning the following Mishnah. Mishnah in Meseches Kalim, where the Mishnah says, Mita Metamis Chavila, Umetaheris Chavila, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. A Mita, a bed, it can become tamei as one unit, when it's all together as one unit, if part of it becomes tamei, the whole thing becomes tamei, and it's metaheres chavila, which means, let's say it was tamei, and you wanted to dip it in the mikveh. So if I dip piece by piece in the mikveh, without sticking the whole thing in the mikveh at a time, is that okay? Let's say I dip one end of the bed, and then I turn it over, dip the other end of the bed. So Gemara says, no, that's no good. Mitaheres chavila. To become tar, it has to be, what's a chavila? What's the little translation of chavila? Yeah. A bundle. Chavis is a barrel. Chavila is a bundle. So it only becomes tameh as a unit, as a bundle. It's not literally a bundle, it's a unit of a whole bed frame. And it only becomes tahar as a unit. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. The Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, Mitameh Sevarim, Umetaheres Sevarim. So no, it could become tameh piece by piece, meaning you could be mitameh one side of the bed without the other side becoming tameh. Does that work on people? Let's say your leg became tameh. Is your whole body necessarily tameh? Yes. On people, it's one unit. We're always one unit.
Don't you say with the hands, though?
With hands, mi d'rabbanan. The rabbanan will go, that's how you know it's only tumah d'rabbanan. The rabbanan will go so that your hands can become tameh, not the rest of your body. But really, on a d'oraisa level, tumah only works on a human being, on the whole unit. So things that are a unit, when there's tumah on part of it, there's tumah the whole thing. So, but the chacham say, you're not supposed to view the bed as one unit. View it as a bunch of different pieces. It's a bunch of different pieces that are put together. So it could become tamei in piecemeal, it could become tamei one by one, and it can become tar one by one. Right? That's the idea. So says the Gemara, my nihu. So what does this mean? What does this mean, Evarim, that in different pieces? So Amar Rabbi Chanan, Amar Rabbi Aruchu Shtei Krayim, Ksaru Shtei Krayim. It's in that context that he said that the bed, when you're dealing with three quarters of the bed, three quarters of the bed frame, that's what we say it could become tamei. Three quarters of the bed frame can become tamei at once without the rest of it. So says Gemara Lamai Chazia, what would you ever use three quarters of a bed frame for? When would you ever need three quarters of a bed frame? I mean, when would it ever be functional? When would it ever be a usable bed? If you took a bed that had three legs on it, or three sides to it, and tried to sleep on it, what would happen? You'd fall, right? You would not have a functional bed. So says Gemara, no, there's a way out. L'mismachinu aguda, l'mesa valayu, u'mishta ashli. That what you could do is, as Rashi says, l'mismachinu aguda, l'karvan etz l'kosel, bring it close to the wall, harachav, close to the wide wall, k'melo rochav mita, a wall that's as wide as the bed is wide, v'nosin etzim min akra'ayim v'lakosel, l'mirashos l'margaloseha, and put some wood underneath to prop it up right next to the wall. U'mishta ashli, v'nosin chaval l'misrug v'ri l'mishka v'mtaim mitris, and you can run strings across it, which you would use as like a hammock, you know, the strings would run across, that would be the area that you'd sleep on, and then it would be fine. So how can you use a mita that has only three sides instead of four? Just pushing it up against the wall, and then it will be usable. It can't be used standalone, but it can be used when you use the wall creatively. Main point number one. Why did I write three uses? So I would say a bed with two legs and one side is usable, and therefore susceptible to tumah. Usable, therefore it's a kli, it's susceptible to tumah.
It's usable,
therefore susceptible to tumah. Okay, period. Gufa, so says Gemara, let's go back to what we mentioned just a little while ago. Amar Rav Ami Bar Tevyumi, sicha bivla'i kelim psula. If you're mesakech with worn out kelim, It's pasul. My bloody kelim. What does worn out kelim mean? So we saw in Rashi, he already gave away the answer. Who remembers? What does worn out kelim mean? We saw in Rashi on Tezvav and Beis. Anybody remember? He just did it like 3 minutes ago. So let's see it inside. Amar Abaye, matlaniyos she'in bem shalosh al shalosh. Little pieces of cloth that are less than 3 by 3 etzba'os in size. D'lo chazya lo la'aniyim v'lo la'ashirim. That cannot really be used by poor people or by rich people. Meaning it has no use for anybody. There's no use for anybody. Meaning it can't be used as a handkerchief even. Even people who are desperate for clothing and for little pieces of cloth to use, if it's very tiny, an etzba is the width of a thumb. So it's less than 3 by 3 etzba'os, so it's not even a tissue. It's like those Shabbos tissues. It's not even those Shabbos tissues. It's really, really tiny. Good? What? No. No, an amma is from here to here. An etzba is just the width of your thumb. Which is very tiny. If you have 3 thumb widths.
Is it etzba called?
No, yeah, this is called etzba. Yeah. This is called godel. This is what? No, but for whatever reason, the shear of an etzba is like that. Yeah, I'm not sure. So, because etzba is also a generic term for fingers, meaning when describing a particular finger amongst fingers, you're right, it means the pointer. But it's also a generic term to describe fingers. So when describing the measurement, it's the only measurement that's measured by fingers. An amma is measured by your whole arm from your elbow to the top. A tefach is measured by your whole fist, the width of your whole fist. Okay. Says the Gemara, where are we? Tanya kavasid Rabbi Ami bar Tavyumi. We have a brisa that supports Rabbi Ami bar Tavyumi. Again, what did Rabbi Ami bar Tavyumi say? That if you try to be misakech with worn out kalim, it's puzzle. So we have a brisa that supports that. Machtzela shel shifa v'shel gemi. If you have a mat made out of shifa or gemi, what does shifa and gemi mean? The Lashon Chachamim on the bottom of your Gemara says shifa, esaf hatzumeach liyada yam, some type of grass that grows near the ocean, and gemi is guma, which, what is that?
That doesn't help.
Yeah, the same word, rubber or something. So if you have a mat made out of shifa or gemi, shireha afal pisha nichesu mikishiura ein mesachin behen. And you it gets ruined. So the leftover pieces of it, even though they're way smaller than any usable mat, you still can't use them as schach. Why? They once were a mat. Now they were tiny and ruined. You still can't use them as schach. Machtzelas hakanim gedola mesachin ba ketanimein mesachin ba. If you have a mat made out of reeds and it's a large mat, you can use it for schach. If it's a small mat, you cannot use it for schach. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, af hi mekabelas tumma ve'in mesachin ba. Rabbi Eliezer says, even any kind of mat is mekabel tumma, and you cannot use it for schach. Meaning he holds any kind of mat is something that you would use as a kli, and since you'd use it as a kli, you can't use it for schach. So look at Rashi, af al pi. Rashi Divar Maskal Afal Pi. This is going on where the Gemara says that if you have a mat made out of shifa or gemi, its leftover pieces, even though they're very tiny, you're not allowed to use them as schach. Says Rashi Afal Pi shepchusa achshav mikashir l'tuma. Even though right now they're smaller than the shear that you would need to make it tamei, detnan mapat shisha al shisha, because the Mishnah in Kalim gives a size for a minimum size for a cloth to be for a mat to be tamei, and this is smaller than that. Still ein mesachin hawil umikli kaasu. What does that mean? Why can't you use it as schach? Not it will become a kli. It came from a kli. V'tchilasa haisa mekabelas tumas mishkav hazava nida. And initially, it used to be able to be mekabel tumah. What kind of tumah could a mat ever be mekabel? The kind of tumah of mishkav hazav v'anida. It's an important concept. What does mishkav hazav v'anida mean? What kind of tumah is that? If a zav v'anida sat on it, right? If a zav v'anida sat on it, they're metame with mishkav. Well, wait a second. Isn't it tame anyway because they're touching it if they're sitting on it? So isn't it tumas maga anyhow? So it's a trick question. You can sleep on something without touching it. How can you sleep on something without touching it? You have a sheet over it. You have covers over it. You're wearing clothing, right? You can sleep on it and a helmet. You can sleep on something without, and gloves. You can sleep on something without touching it. So since you can sleep on something without touching it, therefore, it's that's how mishkav, that's how tumas mishkav can still be transferred. So if a zav or a nida rests on it, sits on it, it makes it tamei. But nevertheless, over here it's smaller than the size of a mat, it's still going to be tamei. Now, then we had an opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, of the Tanakhama, that said that a mat made out of reeds, if it's big, you can use it as schach. What does that mean? If it's big, you can use it as schach. What's that saying about a big mat? Why would you be allowed to use it as schach?
It must be made for schach purposes.
And it must not be a kli, right? It must not be a functional kli. If it were a functional kli, you would not be allowed to use it as schach. Well, if it's a really big mat, why isn't it a functional kli? Says Rashi, Gedolim Masachimba, Delav Klihu, Destamal Sichuch. It's not a kli because it's not made for sleeping on. It's made for schach. And therefore, it's schach. It's not a kli. Good? And then Rabbi Eliezer disagreed. He said, no, even very large mats might be made for sleeping on, and therefore they are, in fact, a kli. And if they're a kli, what are they not? Schach. Good. Main point number two. Worn out kelim that are no longer mekabel tumah. Worn out kelim that are no longer mekabel tumah, that are too small to be mekabel tumah, still cannot be used as schach. Yes.
Don't we use schach mats at all times?
We do.
Yes, we do.
Those are clearly made for schach.
Right. So that's
right. The question over here in the Gemara is: what do we assume? Do we assume it was made for schach? Do we assume it wasn't made for schach? Those were clearly made for schach. Yitzchak. Main point is: worn out kelim that are no longer mekabel tuma because they shrunk. They're no longer mekabel tuma. They're too small. Can still not be used as schach. Okay, good. On we go. Now we're at two dots, right? Yes. Hachotet begadish. Who remembers what chotet begadish means? Good. You have a haystack, and instead of building a sukkah, you hollow out an area inside that haystack, and presto, you have a sukkah. I should start in an infomercial. Amar Rav Huna, lo shanu ela she'ein sham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. Oh, what do we say is the halacha? Very important to say. What do we say is the halacha by chotet begadish? So we said it's no good, right? It's ain a sukkah. It's not a good sukkah. Why is it not a good sukkah?
It was already made.
Right. Tasa v'lo, you're not making a sukkah. So so says the Gemara, that's only true. The problem with hollowing out an area in a haystack is only a problem if ain sham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. If when you started hollowing it out, there was not an open space inside there of one tefach of height by seven tefachim of length and width. Meaning there wasn't really... The haystack itself was not forming an ohel over any open area, right? Aval yesham chalal tefach meshach shiva. But if there already was an open space inside that haystack, that was how big? That was how big?
One
tefach high and 7 by 7 tefachim across. Then harez a sukkah. Then that's called that it's already a sukkah. You're just making it big enough to live in it, but it's already a sukkah. It's already being misakech, because the definition of being misakech means making an ohel over something. Something is an ohel over something when it has a tefach underneath it, tefach of open space. Tani nami achim, we have a braisa that supports this. Hachotet begadish lasosol sukkah, hareis a sukkah. If you hollow out an area inside a haystack to make yourself a sukkah, well then you got a sukkah. Aye, what's the obvious kasha on that? We have a Mishnah of Anantnan. Ain't a sukkah. It says in our Mishnah that it's not a good sukkah. So how can you say it is a good sukkah to hollow out the haystack? What's going to be the obvious answer? Depends what the haystack had before. No? What's the answer? If the haystack had one tefach of open space, one tefach of height and 7 tefach across of open space before, then you hollow out the rest. Is that good or no good? That's good. But if the haystack had no open space, didn't have a tefach of open space, a tefach of height of open space, by 7 tefachim of length and width, and you hollow out the whole area for a sukkah, then it is no good. Elalav shmamina k'drav Huna. You see that Rav Huna's distinction between a pre-existing open tefach and not having that pre-existing open tefach is correct. Shmamina, you see in fact that Rav Huna is correct. What do you mean?
It's not a good sukkah if you made the whole space inside, but if there was space inside, it is a good sukkah. I think it's more tassa of an issue if there was already the space inside.
No, because you're not having it made now. If there was, it was already made at some point. Whenever that schach was put over there, that was already made. Now you're just hollowing out the rest, but it was already made to be misakech over something. We're assuming that first tefach didn't come by someone hollowing it out. It came by them putting the hay on top of it.
So that's not an issue
of tassa v'lamasa. Because there was an asiya at one point. That asiya happened. Because the point is, he says, to define something as schach, it only needs to be covering over a tefach of open space. All you're doing by making it from one tefach to 10 tefachim high is you're making your walls bigger. There's no tassav lomenasoi on walls. Tassav lomenasoi is only on schach. And to define something as schach, you only need one tefach of open space underneath it. The Gemara now is a different version of the same exact conversation with the same conclusions. Ika derami le mirma. Some, instead of suggesting Rav Huna as an idea and then proving it from a contradiction in between a Mishnah and a Braisa, some just start the conversation by asking a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. That on the one hand, Tanan, we say in the Mishnah, Chotik begadish lasal sukkah ain't a sukkah, that it's not a good sukkah if you hollow out the haystack. Ay vahatanya harezu sukkah. But the Braisa says, it is a sukkah. And that's where Rav Huna comes in to save the day. So I'm Rav Huna, lo kasha, kan b'shiyeh sham chal tefach meshach shiva, kan b'shiyeh sham chal tefach meshach shiva. It all depends whether there's a tefach of height by seven tefachim across.
Is there a point in the Gemara like doing that, or do they just like to relate how it happened? They like, there are two different ways of how it happened, there's no difference.
What do you mean?
They used to go through, and I noticed that the Gemara like does that a lot.
How the conversation happened?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I don't know what the difference is. I don't know the Ma'anaf Kamina to know whether Rav Huna came and said it as an independent idea or he only said it by force of the Kasha. I guess if there was some other way to answer the question, would Rav Huna still hold this way? Meaning if Rav Huna held it before anyone ever asked the Kasha, so you see that Rav Huna Mamash held this way. But if he only said it as an answer to a Kasha and you have a different answer to the Kasha, so then maybe you could say, oh, Rav Huna only said it because he couldn't think of another answer.
So then just stay with the one that we said first because that's what's stronger than the second one.
I guess we're raising a doubt about how seriously... I don't know. I'm just suggesting. I don't know. Okay. Main point number three. Chotet begadish. Hollowing out your haystack is kosher if... Is kosher if... Let's finish my sentence. Hollowing out the haystack is kosher if... It already had a halal tefach b'meshach shiva. It already had a tefach of airspace in height by seven tefachim across. And we have now reached the Mishnah. It's nine guys. What?
It's seven tefachim across.
What are you counting? Oh, I davened already because Rebbeim davened. Oh, you committed to a Shiva? What? You also committed. Okay. I guess there won't be a milchah here. All right. Weiter. Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Hamishal shel defanos milamalu lamata. How many guys... Wait, did you do another 43 time in Halach Shurim today? What?
You really did. Oh,
come? He's the best. It's so great. I told Rabbi Storch to be proud of you. I should say his name. I should like embarrass him publicly. Zev Miller is the president and only member of the 43 club. Okay. Yoshi, second place. A distant second.
I got 30 more to go.
Okay. Says the Mishnah. Hamishal shel defanos milamala lamata. If, by the way, you could pick up your notes from my shtender. They're over there on my shtender. Because if you want them back, Okay? So I just don't want to carry them around for the whole day. Hamashal shel defanos milamala lamata. If a person lowers his wall from the top of the sukkah to the bottom of the sukkah, it doesn't really mean that you have to like roll down the wall. It could just mean that you have a wall that doesn't touch the floor. The wall is only on the top part of the sukkah. So what if you have your wall of your sukkah is doesn't go all the way down to the floor, it's only on the top part of your sukkah. It's not on the bottom part of your sukkah. What? Yeah, like if someone could crawl through the bottom, right? So is that kosher?
And the Gemara says, did you move it, or that's how it is?
Let's say. Okay? If there's three tfachim from the floor up to where the bottom of the wall is, then it's pasul. Good? What if you have the other way? You have a wall that covers the bottom part of a sukkah, like a gazebo, right? Where the wall is on the bottom part, but it's open on the top. Milamata lamala. Is that kosher? Siim gavawa asara tfachim, as long as it's 10 tfachim high, kshera, then it's going to be kosher. Rabbi Yossi says, no, I disagree. Kshem shemilamata lamala asara tfachim, kach milamala lamata asara tfachim. Rabbi Yossi says, 10 tfachim is all you need, whether it's on the top half or on the bottom half. You don't have to worry about any open space, no matter how large the open space is, between the floor and the bottom of the wall. It's okay, as long as the wall itself makes up a total of how big? 10 tfachim. Good, that's the machlokas in our Mishnah. So everyone agrees, if the wall starts at the floor, it only needs to be 10 tfachim high. Machlokas is if the wall starts at the ceiling and doesn't reach the floor. Does it only need to be 10 tefachim, or does it have to get to within how many tefachim of the ground? Three tefachim of the ground. Good. That's the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, b'may kamiflagi. What is the root of the dispute? What are they arguing about? So what they're arguing about is the following. Mar Savar, mechitza tluya, important concept, mechitza tluya. Mar Savar, mechitza tluya materes, that a mechitza tluya, a hanging mechitza, can serve to be matir, can serve to permit something that needs a mechitza to permit it. When do you ever need a mechitza to permit something? To carry on Shabbos. If you're surrounded by walls, you're now in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, you're allowed to carry. So does a mechitza teluya work? Right? So one holds mechitza teluya, a hanging mechitza works. Umar sover mechitza teluya, ain't a materes. And the other one says, no, mechitza teluya does not work. Who holds what? Good, Rabbi Yossi says
that
it does work, and that's why it could be more than three tefachim off the ground as long as you have 10 tefachim of mechitza. Whereas Tanakam is going to say it does not work, and that's why it needs to be within three tefachim of the ground. Tanana, we have a Mishnah.
Does this apply from the three tefachim from the top to the three tefachim on top?
No, you could be missing, everyone agrees you could be missing way more than three tefachim on top. As long as you have 10 tefachim of solid wall at the bottom, there is no requirement at the top. That's what it seems everyone agrees in the Mishnah. Now, I would encourage you for the coming few lines. What? Yeah, I know. That's why I stopped, because there are like 8 conversations and only like 9 people. So, for the coming piece, it's important. It's probably good to see pictures in like the sukkah picture books. You want to go grab one, actually? That'd be great. See if anyone has one back there. See if maybe one of the Shlomo guys or something over on the table.
Nice farm storage area.
So pictures would be helpful. I realize that probably doesn't help people who are listening on a recording, but whatever. What am I supposed to do? Oh, I can make graphics on the...
Do people outside our school listen to this?
I have no idea. I don't see why they would. Okay, says the Gemara. Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah. Bar shebein shtei chatzeros. If you have a bar in between two courtyards, what does it mean it's in between two courtyards?
There's a courtyard there and there's a courtyard here. And it's in the middle.
It's on the line, meaning, and therefore it's a bar, meaning it's a bar that's dug into both courtyards, actually. It's not like that there's a gap between the courtyards and the bar is there. The bar is part of... The bar is part of both courtyards. So it's between two courtyards, right on the line that divides two courtyards. Ein memalim mena b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to fill up water from that bar on Shabbos. Elim kein asa la mechitza asara tfachim. Unless you made a mechitza that's 10 tfachim high. Unless you made a mechitza that's 10 tfachim high. Between the two courtyards, over the bar. How would you make the mechitza between the two courtyards over the bar? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we have pictures of that.
We didn't ask.
How do you make the mechitza 10 tefach mai between the two courtyards? So says the Gemara, in one of three ways. Bein milamala, bein milamata, bein betach ugno. You can make it above, below, or betach ugno. Now, it's...
Does that mean like in the middle?
Above means that the mechitza goes across. Let me just explain first. The mechitza goes across to separate the two courtyards, and when it hits the bar, you have to realize, although it's deep down in the ground, it has walls around it, like a well does. A well has walls around that protrude above the ground. That wall does not go into the well at all, just goes over the well. Right? That's milamala. They have the well that protrudes above ground. The wall that separates the two courtyards goes along the ground, and then when it hits the well, goes over the well, and then back down across the courtyard. That's milamala. I'll show you in a second. Milamata means that it goes all the way down into the airspace of the well till it hits water. That the wall actually dips all the way down until it hits the water level. And betoch ugno means...
Does it go through the water?
What?
Does it go through the water?
Just cut it.
No, it doesn't have to go through. It just has to hit the water level.
So you divide it.
Betoch ugno means it goes into the well, but it doesn't hit all the way down to the water level. It just goes into the well. If you want to look at the pictures, it is pictures kufnun hey, kufnun vav, and kufnun zayin. Milamala, milamata, betoch ugno in that book. Those are the, right, kufnun hey, kufnun vav, and kufnun zayin. Those are the pictures of milamala, milamata, and betoch ugno. And then you're allowed to take water from there in Shabbos. Aaron Joseph, why would it be usher to take water from there in Shabbos? What's the issue? What would be the issue of taking from a bar on Shabbos? What's the problem? You're taking from the other guy's chatzer, right? In order to not carry from one chatzer to another, you need to have a wall, right, that separates the two chatzeros. And then you can view the water that you're taking as if it's only your water and not the other guy's water. Good?
You can't just do an Irvei Chatzeros?
Well, that probably would work. We're assuming that you don't have one. That's what I'm assuming. Yeah. Good. So says the Gemara Vayter. So the mechitza has to be 10 tefach mai. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Beishamai Omer Milamala, Ubeisil Omer Milamata. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, Beishamai says you can make the wall above the well. Beisil says the wall has to be below. It has to be into the depth of the well, all the way to the water. Amar Rabbi Yehuda lo te mechitza gedola min hakosel shebeinehen. And Rabbi Yehuda says the mechitza that separates the two chatzeros, even though it's hanging above the well, that's the best mechitza you could possibly have. You don't need anything more than that, than the mechitza that separates the two chatzeros. Fine. Period. Yeah. Did we do main point number four? So main point number four, machlokas, whether a wall that covers the top half of a sukkah, milamala lamata, is okay even if it's more than three tefachim off the ground. Again, the machlokas, whether a wall that covers the top half of a sukkah is okay even if it's more than three tefachim off the ground, is the same machlokas as whether mechitza tluya is good or not. Again, the machlokas, whether a wall that covers the top part of a sukkah is okay, even when more than three tefachim off the ground, is the same machlokas whether a mechitza tluya is good or not.
What are the opinions by the mechitza tluya?
But you good or no good by a mechitza tluya? So that's what we're getting into right now by discussing the case of the bar, because this, in a way, is a mechitza tluya. It goes above the bar, but doesn't go all the way down into it. What?
Who says what?
We're about to say that in the Gemara. Who says what by mechitza tluya? We haven't said that yet. So says the Gemara, three lines from the top on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. The pictures help?
Yeah.
You saw the pictures? You got it? You got a little bit of a better understanding?
They look pretty much all the pictures look the same.
Yeah, you have to look very carefully to see where the wall gets to. You know. They put the camera at the wrong angle on picture day. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Who told me? Effie Wagner, I think, told me he was in. There's a place in Israel where they build all the cases of Masechta Sukkah.
Right, but the problem is everyone assumes that they're all kosher. I heard so. Some people they just go and they eat in the random.
Really?
Ones, they don't know.
I saw them all there.
Someone they should have like a pasul side and a kosher side.
Someone's telling me they went and they started eating in the Sukkah and they're like, no, this is the.
And a machlokes side. They should divide it like pasul kosher machlokes. That would be good.
Oh, I was eating
in the
Sukkah and somebody came over from
me and said, but that's the possible thing. Oh, really? Interesting. Okay, on we go. Oh, everyone's got pizza. Amar Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda b'shitas Rabbi Yossi Amra. So Rabbi Yehuda, guys, you need to focus on this or you're never going to get it. So again, Rabbi Yehuda says that the mechitza that divides the two chatzeros is good enough to divide the two sides of the well as also. So Rabbi Abrahana said that Rabbi Yehuda was saying it within the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, Damar Mechitza Tuli Materes. To say that the Mechitza that runs over the well is good enough to divide the well assumes what? That a Mechitza does not have to hit the ground. That a Mechitza that's hanging in the air is okay. That's Rabbi Yossi's Shita. Velohi. But really that's not true. Rabbi Yehuda Savalak Rabbi Yossi Velo Rabbi Yossi Savalak Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yossi that a mechitza tli is good, but Rabbi Yossi doesn't necessarily have to hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Lo Rabbi Yehuda savor like Rabbi Yossi that maybe Rabbi Yehuda, who allows the mechitza that runs over the bar be a good mechitza to divide the two chatzeros, he might not hold. Velohi, lo Rabbi Yehuda savor like Rabbi Yossi, velo Rabbi Yossi savor like Rabbi Yehuda. Neither holds like either one. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. How could they not be holding like each other? Isn't it exactly the same concept? Mechitza tluya and a mechitza that goes over a bar. So says the Gemara, lo Rabbi Yehuda savor like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi, because ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda hasam elabei ruve chatzeros. You know when Rabbi Yehuda allows a mechitza tluya only when it comes to a ruve chatzeros dirabanan, only when it comes to a problem of carrying from one chatzer to another, which is a problem only on a dirabanan level anyway. So since it's only a dirabanan problem, he says, okay, for that I'll rely on what? On a mechitza tluya. For a dirabanan problem, a mechitza tluya will solve my problems. But if you're going to talk to me about a daraisa issue, forget it. What kind of daraisa issue? Sukkah, aval hacha sukkah doraisa, but by sukkah, which is the doraisa issue, lo, absolutely not. We cannot rely on a mechitza tluya. Lo, Rabbi Yossi savor lak Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda in the following sense: ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yossi hachi ela besukkah de mitzvah saseh. Rabbi Yossi is only going to rely on a mechitza tluya to enable you to do a mitzvah saseh like sukkah. Because mitzvos asay are not as severe as violating mitzvos los asay. So for a mitzvos asay, we'll rely on the mechitza tluya. Aval Shabbos, even though Shabbos in this halacha, this particular halacha is only a din derabanan, but Shabbos as a concept is a very severe iser. The iser skila. Shabbos as a concept is a very severe set of halachos. So lo, I might say, Rabbi Yossi would say, don't rely on a mechitza tluya for that. Only rely on mechitza tluya for something simple like sukkah, for a mitzvah saseh like sukkah. Okay, so main point number one. Being matir a mechitza tluya for Eruv and being matir mechitza tluya for sukkah are not codependent. Got that? Being matir, allowing a mechitza tluya for Eruv and allowing the mechitza tluya for sukkah are not dependent on each other. They do not necessarily go hand in hand. You should be able on your own to put together the svara for why not. Why would it be good for Erev, not for Shabbos?
Because one
is Erev is only drabanan. Why would it be? Why would it be good for Erev, not for sukkah? Because Erev is only drabanan. Why would it be good for sukkah, not for Erev? Because sukkah is only mitzvah say, Erev is Shabbos. Shabbos is skila. So anyway, so the two issues are not codependent. Says the Gemara Vim Tomar. If you're going to ask, oh yeah, if a mechitza tluya is a problem in any way, then ma'ase shenase b'tzipori al pi mi na'ase. Then this famous story that happened in Tzipori, you know the story that happened in Tzipori, it must be in all the children's storybooks. How did they do that story? So the Gemara is going to obviously fill us in on what that story was, because otherwise it would make for a very difficult Gemara. But that story, you know, whose psak were they following that story? Lo al pi Rabbi Yossi. They weren't following Rabbi Yossi. El al pi Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. They couldn't have been following Rabbi Yossi. They must have been doing like Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. Because keep in mind, what did we just say? Rabbi Yossi doesn't allow mechitza tuliyah for Shabbos. He only allows it for Sukkah. He does not allow it for Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi does not allow mechitza tuliyah for Shabbos. So in the famous story in Tzipori where they relied on a mechitza tuliyah, they couldn't have been going like Rabbi Yossi. They were going by his son's shita, which is apparently different than his own shita. They must have not been going like Rabbi Yossi. What's the famous story in Tzipori where they had to rely on the mechitza tuliyah? Umay maisa? What is that story? Ah, I'm glad you asked. The Chiyas Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Omar, he said, Rav Dimi walked into the Beis Medrash one day, and he said, like, I walk into Shir every day and say, I got a story for you. I got to tell you what happened to me. Pam achas shachu v'lo yivu Sefer Torah Erev Shabbos. One day they forgot to bring a Sefer Torah to the shul on Erev Shabbos. Why don't they have a Sefer Torah in the shul? Good kasha. But they forgot to bring a Sefer Torah to the shul on Erev Shabbos. So there it is, Shabbos, time for Kriyas Torah. Uh-oh, we don't have a Torah. It's at Mr. Cohn's house. Problem is, there's no Erev in town. How am I going to get the Sefer Torah from Mr. Cohn's house to the shul? So the machar pirsu sadinin al gabe amudim v'viyu Sefer Torah v'karubav. So the next day they thought of a great idea. When it came to Shabbos, Friday night in shul, they realized they had a problem. Right? It's already Shabbos. They don't need Sefer Torah yet, but they realize they have a problem. So next thing they did Shabbos morning, what they did is, they took sheets, cloths, and hung it on pillars across the way that leads straight from Mr. Cohn's house all the way to the shul. So they made these mechitzos to make like a, Mr. Cohn's house must have been near the shul. And they made these mechitzos out of these cloths that they had hanging over these pillars. Oh, they have a picture of it. Wow. So and then they read from the Sefer Torah. They carried it. What?
It was next door.
Okay. So says the Gemara, Pirsus al Gadai. Wait a second. What were you going to ask? How do they carry the sheets? It's Shabbos. You can't carry the sheets. Well, I'm going to carry the sheets to make mechitzah so that I can then carry the Sefer Torah. So says the Gemara, Pirsus al Gadai. What do you mean they spread it out on Shabbos? Mehechon aviyam b'Shabbos. Where did they bring it from on Shabbos? How are they allowed to carry the sheets? Ella says the Gemara, no. As luck would have it, Matsu Sadin and Prusma Gabe Amudim. They view Sefer Torah Vakarubo. They walked outside of shul Friday night and they're like, look at that, someone hung up sheets before Shabbos, leading from the Mr. Cohn's house to the shul. What luck! And they utilized the sheets that were already there before Shabbos to help bring the Sefer Torah.
That makes the story a lot, right?
So what's the story? They were relying on sheets that were hanging. The sheets that were hanging were probably not touching the ground. They were a What were those sheets? A mechitza tuliyah. And they relied on it in Tzipori. So is that okay? So apparently it was okay. It wasn't going like Rabbi Yossi. Main point number two. The episode where they relied on a mechitza tuliyah to bring a Sefer Torah was not based on Rabbi Yossi's psak, but on the psak of his son. Why would we have thought it was based on Rabbi Yossi's psak? So Rashi fills us in a little bit. Rashi says we would have thought it was based on Rabbi Yossi's psak because Rabbi Yossi was the chief rabbi of Tzipori. So like there's a story in his town. He was the rabbi of the town. How could he not allow mechitza tuliyah if the famous story that happened in his town allowed mechitza tuliyah? So the Gemara says, no. It was after he died, his son took over, because that's the way Rabbanus used to go, that after he died, his son took over. So it was based on his son's psak. His son changed all the old policies. Yeah, I don't know if he changed all of them. He changed the mechitza tuliyah policy. Probably not a hot button political issue. Yeah.
Why does Rashi?
They still didn't have a kiddush club.
Why does Rashi? The Gemara says Ella was al pi Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. So Rashi ends up to then whatever. And then he immediately just tells a story, like in Rashi, like it's like the next words in the Gemara.
Yeah. Either that should be part of like the Dibur Maskil, or Rashi may have had a different girsa. I don't know. I think it's part of the Dibur Maskil. Should really be part of the Dibur Maskil. Yeah. They messed up the Dibur Maskil, looks like to me. What Rashi should be, the Dibur Maskil should be LLP Rabbi Rabbi Shmuel, and then Rashi says Bino, and then the next Dibur Maskil is Umay Maisa, Duchias Avdim, Yom Papa, blah, 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 right?
And then
yeah, and then he explains it. Okay? Amar Rav Chista, Amar Avimi. Rav Chista says in the name of Avimi, what is the smallest size wall you could possibly get away with for a sukkah? Again, how tall does your sukkah have to be?
10
tefachim. What's the smallest size wall you could possibly get away with? Smallest size actual cloth or piece of wood that you can use in terms of height for your sukkah. So he says as follows. Machtzelas arba'a umashu materas besukkah mishum dofen. If you have a mat that is 4 and a little bit, 4 tefachim and change, that could be your wall for a sukkah. How so? Hey chiyavid, how do you place it so in the right place to make it a valid wall? So here's what you do. Tali le be'emtza pachos mishlosh lamata upachos mishlosh lamala. All you got to do is put it smack in the middle of the height of the sukkah, where it's less than 3 tefachim off the ground, and less than 3 tefachim from the top. Why does it have to be less than 3 tefachim in both directions? Because what does that allow you to do? It allows you to say, what concept? Not Tov Nakuma. Lovewood, right. You view less than 3 tefachim as if it's closed up. So if you have, let's say, 4.2 tefach board, and you have 2.9 tefachim underneath it and 2.9 tefachim on top of it, and you can view it as if it's all closed up, do your math?
It works.
Yeah, it works. It's 10 tefachim, exactly. 4.2 plus 2.9 plus 2.9 is exactly 10 tefachim. Right? They're called pachos mishosha kalavadami. Anything less than 3 is like lavad. So says the Gemara, pshita. That's obvious that that works. All you needed to tell me is the din of lavad, and guess what? We knew the din of lavad for the last like 15 dapim, because we've been saying it over and over and over again. So what? You're telling me a new din here that there's something called lavad? Of course there's something called lavad. So says Gemara, no, this is a big chiddush. Because ma'u detema chad lavad amrinan, trey lavad lo amrinan. I might have thought, lavad is like a one-time exemption you get to use. You get to use it once on each wall. But to use lavad on two sides, I would think that's cheating already. So Kamash Shalom, therefore comes to tell me, no, lavad is literally like it's a wall there. It's like it's totally closed off. You can use it as many times as you need to. Right? Lavad you can use over and over again. You can even say trey lavad, and the assumption is not just trey, but even more than trey, even 3. Okay, we're almost there, we're almost done. Says Gemara, Meisvei Machtzelas Shiva Umashahu Materas Besukah Mishum Dofen. If a mat is 7 tefachim and change, then you can use it as a wall of your sukkah. What does that imply? That it needs to be 7 tefachim and change. How many lavads do you need to use when it's 7 tefachim and change? How many lavads are you using? Hello? When it's 7 tefachim and change, you're only using 1 lavad. So that sounds like you're not allowed to use 2 lavads. You're only allowed to use 1. So it says, no, kitanya hi besukah gedola. That's what meant a very tall sukkah. So by 7 tefachim and change, you're not going to have 2 lavads. Because it may be less than 3 tefachim off the ground, but it's going to be 15 amos from the top of the sukkah. So you're not going to have a lavad there. When you deal with a sukkah that's exactly 10 tefachim high, great. Take your 4.2 tefach board, put it in the middle, you'll use your 2 lavads, it'll be great. But you deal with a sukkah that's 5 amos high, well then you're not going to be able to use 2 lavads. Then you use 1 lavad, and if you use 1 lavad, you need 7 and change in the wall. Umay kamash melon, so what's the chiddush then, that you're allowed to use a 7 and change tefach wall? That you can have the walls hanging above ground level, that they don't need to be within 3 tefachim of the ground. The 7 and change tefach wall could be 2.9 tefachim away from the top, from the schach. And then you have the 7 and change, so 10 tefachim down from the schach is where you have your wall, and then the rest might be open space at the bottom, where you could walk underneath it or whatever. Still, that's okay. That's like Rabbi Yossi, who holds that what? What's Rabbi Yossi's shita?
As long as the wall is
that mechitza teluya is valid by sukkah. Amar Rabbi Ami. So okay, now we spoke about the height, what the minimum height of a wall would have to be. What's the minimum length that a wall would have to be? Let me just pose it to you beforehand. How big does a wall of a sukkah have to be?
7
tefachim, right? So what's the minimum length of a board if you wanted the board to form a valid wall? Not the height, the length of the board if you wanted it to be able to form a valid wall.
You could do lavad and
No? So if you could do Lavan on both sides, that would leave you with a very, very tiny, less than 4. No. If you do Lavan on both sides, that would leave you 1.2. It would be nothing, right? So let's see what the Gemara says. Amar Rabbi Ami, pas arba'a umashu humatri basukum mishum dofen. If it's 4 tfachim and change, it could be a good wall. 4 tfachim and change, because you're only using how many levels? Well, noved. Umokum levi pachas mishlosh tfachim samach ludofen, vikal pachas mishlosh tfachim samach ludofen, kalavadami. And put it less than 3 tfachim away from the wall, and then you'll be able to utilize loved. So my kamash, what's the chiddush of that? Of course you're allowed to use, you're allowed to do that. That's normal loved. It says the Gemara, ha-kamash, this is the chiddush. Shir meshach sukkah ketana shiva. It's telling you how, what the minimum size of a sukkah is. And that's a chiddush, because we had a machlokas about it somewhere else. We had 3 shitos. What were the 3 shitos, who remembers? 6 tvachim, 7 tvachim, or 4 amos. Right? So that the chiddush is that it's 7 tvachim. Main point number 3, and with this we will close. If only I could read my own handwriting, it would be great.
Is that the main point?
A board that's a bit taller than 4 tfachim can be a wall utilizing 2 lavuds. Then 4 tfachim can be used as a wall utilizing 2 lavuds. A board a bit wider than 4 tfachim or longer than 4 tfachim can be a wall utilizing 1 lavud. Wider or longer, longer I guess is the way to say it, than 4 tfachim, could be utilized as a wall using 1 lavud. So again, a board that's a bit taller than 4 tfachim can be utilized as a wall utilizing, it can be used as a wall utilizing 2 lavuds. As long as you place it very strategically, utilizing lavud on top, lavud on the bottom. A board that is 4 tfachim and a little bit long, a board that is 4 tfachim and a little bit long can be used as a wall utilizing 1 lavud. Good. That is Daf Tazayin Masech Sukkah. Mr. Shem, next Wednesday night, unless we have an ice storm again, or it rains or drizzles, or it's sunny or cloudy, we will have next Wednesday night, Shir and Daf Yud Zayin.